views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most inspired visionaries on the planet in lighthearted, lively dialogue. Join us as we explore the expansive nature of reality in a down-to-earth way, offering you insights and tools empowering you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Now, here's your host, Christine Upchurch.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Christine Upchurch Show, where we have stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. I'm talking to you here from KKNW AM 1150 Studios here in Seattle, and you may be listening from elsewhere in the world. But first, before I get into that, I want to say hello to Benny, who's here after not being here last week. Where were you, Benny?
Oh, I'm back in the saddle again. I was visiting Dallas for a softball tournament. We unfortunately didn't do as well as we expected or hoped, but that's okay. There's always next year. Yeah. Free thinking. And it was a gorgeous time down there that I had. And it was good to see some sights. I took in some sights. In our previous show, Manson Mitchell, actually, in the first start of this show, they interviewed the girlfriend that's claiming to be Lee Harvey Oswald's girlfriend from the 63 time, was on for the first half hour of the show. So it was intense because I visited Dallas, right, and that was where the whole JFK assassination. So it was really intense to be there and finally see what everyone has seen for all these years on TV and the Zapruder film and all that. So yeah, it was intense. Like, it literally brought me back within 6 days later. I'm back here and I get to hear it again. So,
well, I was living there when it
were
happened.
You?
I was living in Fort Worth, so Dallas area. And in fact, my father, who was a very straight-laced man in a lot of ways, but he also was rather psychic, and he didn't share with people about his psychic abilities. But he did tell me one day when I was a grown-up, he said, before Kennedy came here, he said, I saw in my mind him being shot.
Wow.
And he said, I kept thinking, I need to tell somebody. And every time he envisioned himself telling somebody, he saw himself, shackled and handcuffed in jail.
Ugh.
And so, and he thought, I've got to be responsible for my family. I've got young children. Mm-hmm. So he said that he chose, not to do anything about it, which is, I think there were many people who had intuitive notion that he was going to pass, in
sure,
a violent way. So, but it was just kind of interesting because there we were in the midst of it, and he'd gotten a flash of intuition about it and decided to squelch it and not deal with it, which is kind of sad in some ways. But
that's intense.
Yeah.
Woo.
And back in the era when, if you claim to have some psychic ability, then
they thought you were just
guilty,
bonkers too.
Yeah. Crazy
which,
or guilty.
Well, right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which today we've proven quite differently.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, I love the reach of this show, and I love reaching out to people around the world. And I did a teleseminar a week and a half ago. It was on vibrational structures, one of the things I'm passionate about, something that I intuitively download about on a regular basis to help us to transform our lives. And it's great being on the internet because you can talk to people all over the world. And I know there, let's see, we had people from not only the United States and Canada, but also South America and Australia. And those are the ones I know about. But I'm also really enjoying the reach that we have here on the radio show because, yes, we're on the airwaves here in Seattle and also in the Northeast. We're now on the airwaves in many stations in Australia and cable radio network, through people's televisions across the United States. But we're also reaching out to people all over the world on Transformation Talk Radio. And that's so cool because I heard from somebody just the other day. She said, I have to tell you, I really enjoy the Stellar Reflections Minutes, down here in Peru.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So we have listeners all over the world. And
see, I told you from day one since you started, you are definitely international. International material. And you're like, oh, I can't go that far. Well, lo and behold, this is truth.
Yeah. The beauty of the internet.
Yeah.
And, wherever you're listening to from, listening from today, I'm on the radio, can't talk. Wherever you're listening from today, you're going to be really glad you tuned in. I've got a guest back who, when I had on before, we had a fabulous conversation and people were raving about it afterwards. So you want to stay tuned. And the person I'm talking about is Dr. Robert Foreman. He has his PhD in religious studies. He worked as a professor. But more importantly, perhaps, in the overall picture here, is he has spent the last 40 years meditating on a daily basis. And he is focusing on transformation and helping people through their transformation. He's, you know, he studied and has taught about mystics, and he has this program called Soul Jazz that helps people with their spiritual development. And he's got a wonderful book. It's just an absolutely fabulous book called Enlightenment Ain't What It's Cracked Up to Be. I'd like to welcome our guest today, Dr. Robert Foreman. Hi, Robert.
Hi, Christine, and thank you so much for that introduction. I'm just honored.
Oh, well, I'm so glad to have you back because, you know, in radio, it can be kind of surface, you know, question, answer. And it can also go deep. And it was one of those interviews where it felt like you were just willing to dive in and get to the nitty gritty and beneath that. And it was so fabulous to have that depth. I thought, you know, I want him back for another conversation. So,
well, I wanted to come back because, you know, one cannot do this alone. And it was a real treat to talk to you. But let's explore that thought for a second.
What's that?
That is to say that there's something about, you say, you know, he's willing to go deep. And I think that there's something about that that is a kind of marker of somebody who's really alive. And I'm not claiming it for myself.
Uh-huh.
Rather, what I'm saying is that I think the process of going deep with one another is a process of coming more and more into your own life, more and more into what you're really about, where you really hurt and what's really going on. I think that the whole challenge of our paths, our spiritual paths, our lives in general, I think the whole challenge is to learn to open up with each other and to learn to be more and more what you are, authentically what you are, and a little less defended about showing that and being that for one another. So I think you're absolutely right. I think there is something in here.
And I think that the connection isn't what people fear as much as being authentic to who they truly are and, you know, warts and all.
Yeah, I think the key in that, and that's something that in the, you mentioned that I'm teaching the program called Soul Jazz.
Uh-huh.
And in the Soul Jazz program, one of the things we talk about a lot is that to be really intimate with somebody, to be really open with somebody, requires that you're willing to be somewhat vulnerable,
mm-hmm.
that you're willing to open up about what you really are. And in fact, I think if you don't allow yourself to be vulnerable, you keep yourself defended, I think in many ways you are forbidding intimacy from happening. You're forbidding authenticity from happening.
Right.
So I think to really make contact with one another requires that we're willing to take that risk of being really honest.
And I think that Brené Brown has actually done the research that validates what you just said, that in order to have that heart-based connection, you have to have vulnerability.
Yeah, I just love her work, and I love her talk. So absolutely, I couldn't agree more. I think she has done the research. But so have we, by the way. We've talked to a lot of people. The way this program happened, by the way, is that a number of us, I founded something called the Forge Institute.
Mm-hmm.
And the Forge Institute was bringing together people who are spiritual leaders and teachers and writers. And though these people all have a wonderful and very deep meditation life and a prayer life and whatnot,
uh-huh.
we were finding, and they were finding, that people were not able to make really good and consistent intimate contact with one another.
Mm.
And I longed for that. Even though I've been practicing meditation all these years, I was really longing for that.
That's so interesting. So even though they were going deep in some ways, they weren't connecting.
Yeah, that's exactly the problem. And in fact, I think spiritual teachers are good at doing something that's within themselves, that's, as it were, solipsistic, you know the word? You know, having to do with just you and yourself.
Right.
But we're actually very unable to make intimate contact with one another. And just to give you one really nasty fact, there were probably at its height something. I had probably interviewed about 1,000 spiritual teachers.
And uh-huh.
I was amazed how many divorces had happened. Even
really?
Among this gang. Yeah, I was just amazed. And I think that is really a problem. I think people have learned, many meditation types, like myself, have learned to make very good contact inside, but not so good with one another. And so that became a real challenge for us. And mm-hmm. so I think Brené Brown is right, that if you're not willing to be vulnerable and you're not willing to be really open with another person, that sense of heartfelt contact and that sense of lived happiness and joy, I think really hard. I think it's almost impossible.
Mm.
So that, yeah, I completely agree with your research, and it matches what we've discovered.
So earlier in the conversation, you used that I word, intimacy. I know that within the context of our culture, we often will define it to be sexual intimacy. Has that connotation. What do you mean by intimacy?
Well, let me give you a couple of examples here. Perhaps you were feeling one day like a failure, and unexpectedly your heart just broke open and you felt this sort of outpouring of compassion for yourself,
mm-hmm.
and you knew it was okay to be who you were, with warts and all, as you put it.
Right.
Or maybe you were standing by the edge of a lake one day, and the sun was setting, and all your familiar mind chatter stopped, and a loon called, and you're not quite sure if you're the loon or the lake or the person just uh-huh. standing there. Or maybe you were talking with your spouse when you each understood and were discovering about who you each were and where you're going together. I think intimacy has to do with being really connected with your life and really connected with another person.
Mm.
And it may have to do with sexuality. That is to say, sex can be an amazing way for two people to make contact.
Uh-huh.
But it can also be you can be intimate with yourself in a way that I think a lot of us aren't. You can be intimate with another person just verbally. I would say my deepest intimate friends, and if you and I keep doing this, I have a feeling you and I will end up there.
But yes, my deepest, I think so too.
My deepest intimate friends are not sexual relationships at all. In fact, you know, I've been married for close to 40 years now. I've never had another sexual contact, but uh-huh. I've got a lot of very deep intimate friends.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's a real privilege for us to do that, you know, that
right.
we can really make contact with ourselves and really make contact with another. It may end up in sex, but I think real intimacy ends up in just honest openness, and I think that's the fun part.
Mm.
And in fact, if I, you know, I mean, I've never actually seen you. We live on opposite sides of the country. But
uh-huh.
no matter what you look like, I have a feeling that if you and I were to sit at a coffee shop and just start talking, we could just go and go and go. And frankly, I find that even more satisfying than sex.
Interesting. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I totally agree about the conversation. You know, the hour flew by last time. And, you know, whenever I'm reading your book, and I've picked it up several times since I, you know, had first read it, it's like, oh, I'd love to talk to him about that. And There is something really satisfying about having a connection of depth where it allows us to not only understand something more about another person, but kind of open up and enlighten ourselves about our own, you know, our own connection, our own personality, whatever it is, to sort of illuminate for ourselves more aspects of our soul.
I think the real fun part of this is not, well, I mean, it's in making contact with another person, but I think the real fun part of this is discovering what you are in process
uh-huh.
with being as you're with another person.
Yeah.
That you can discover what you think and what you feel and who you are.
Right.
I'm thinking of a conversation I had actually just 2 days ago mm-hmm. with a male friend of mine.
I want to hear that, Robert. But I just got the gesticulation from Benny across the room saying, it's time for break. It's past time for break. So hold that thought. But more with a wonderful Dr. Foreman when we return here on the Christine Epchurch Show.
I'm Christine Epchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. Years ago, when facing cancer, without any immediate treatment options, I sought healing by making various life changes. For a while, I followed a very restrictive diet. I often found myself obsessing about which foods were good and which ones were bad. Then one day, I realized I was consuming foods based on fear of not getting well. But I didn't want to make choices out of fear anymore. I decided it was far better for my immune system if I allowed myself to experience the joy that came from, say, eating frozen yogurt, than it was for me to ingest the fear that came from avoiding it. Now, instead of choosing healthy habits based on fear, I try to make choices because they feel right and ultimately bring me joy and ease. How many of your healthy habits are really based on fear? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Tune in each Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio to Limelight Radio with Katina Macris. This is an inspirational, cutting-edge radio show educating worldwide listeners on a diversity of Lyme disease-related topics. Each week, Katina will interview some of the world's leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential. For more information, visit LimelightRadio.com.
What does a dentist of the year get? A little plaque. Welcome to Smile Big, where we offer cosmetic, restorative, and preventative dentistry. Dr. James Rosenwald and Dr. Susan Abdenard work hard every day for their clients to be happy to smile with the latest equipment for complete smile restoration for anyone. The sooner you call, the sooner they can help. Call 425-454-4040 or email scheduling@smilebig.com. You can even visit our website at smilebig.com.
Tune in to Heart Center Talk Radio with David Christopher Lewis, a gifted clairaudient, Aquarian spiritual author, and talented musical composer on TransformationTalkRadio.com every Wednesday, 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 p.m. Eastern Time, with delivering more than 4,000 messages from angels, masters, and divine beings. David will share the Ascended Master's teachings, insights, and surprising revelations to light bearers. Meet transformative guests who embody change and inspire hope and get a refreshing and deeply meaningful perspective on life.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
When I die and I lay me to rest, gonna go to the place that's the best. When I lay me down to die, going up to the spirit in the sky.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm having a conversation today with the wonderful Dr. Robert Foreman. He's the author of Enlightenment Ain't What It's Cracked Up to Be, A Journey of Discovery, Snow, and Jazz in the Soul. Now, before I so rudely interrupted you, Robert, before the break, you were about to share a story with us. Would you go ahead and share that now, please?
Yeah, the reason I wanted to share it with you, Christine, is that the Soul Jazz program that I'm really excited about helps people really find what's going on in their own lives through conversation and dialogue. And it helps people go deeper. And one of the things that I think is really interesting, and you and I were talking about before the break, is that when I reveal something about who I am, I'm also learning about who the other person is. Mm-hmm. And as they hear my story, they discover something about themselves, and then that goes back and forth like that. I learn something about myself mm-hmm. by talking in true ways to them, and they learn something about themselves and talking in true ways, you know, about themselves and about me. So that I think the sort of discovery that can happen is really the fun part of all this.
Right.
And the story I was going to tell you was I had a conversation just yesterday with a very dear friend, male friend, lives up in Canada. Uh-huh. And we got to talking about the relationship between the craving for approval from others, which I think we all know,
mm-hmm.
and the fact that when you die, that there is no grade that's given for how popular you were.
And there's not myself, oh darn!
I found myself letting go in that conversation of some of the craving that I've had my whole life to uh-huh. be recognized and valued by other people. You know, if you don't get a grade at the end of the story, I said, that then I just found myself in, you know, I sort of think of myself as in life. And my friend, Carrie, then responded, he's had actually the same kind of experience as he thinks about his own life and how he judges his own life. Uh-huh. And though he's not looking, you know, his craving is not for friends, but rather he wants to think of himself as a big deal, as a big shot. Uh-huh. And that as he was thinking about his own life, as I was talking about mine, he also was saying, you know, I think I've been doing something kind of similar. And so that both of us were sort of in there, looking at our own cravings, looking at who we've been, looking at the sort of strangeness of thinking that at at the end of your life, you're going to get some sort of award, or,
right,
you know,
right.
It's this odd kind of thing, Christine, where both of us were discovering that we have the same kind of crazy neurotic need.
Uh-huh.
And in talking about it, both of us were able to see it more clearly and let it go a little more clearly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, was that too weird of a story to tell you?
No, that's not weird at all. And in fact, I think you're so right, because when we're going through something simultaneously, or if we've gone through something and we're watching somebody else go through it, which has happened with me recently, I lost my beloved pet, my beloved cat, back in the summer, and my friend, who's also my office manager, my better half in the office, she was there for me and supporting me, and she recently lost her beloved dog. And so there I was supporting her, and I found that there was certain wisdom that was coming through when I'm talking to her that's like, oh, I never realized that before. Kind of like I had been through it before, but supporting her helped bring out greater depth for me, for myself, with my process. So it's this collaborative kind of connective expansion.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that it is in articulating what we think and in hearing somebody else's articulation of what they think. I think that that's where real life learning happens, and you become increasingly open. And the reason I think that this vulnerability is the key, is one of the keys in all of this, is that if I'm defended, if I'm protected about who I am, I'm giving you something that's kind of, forgive me, canned.
Uh-huh.
I'm giving you something that I've sort of heard before.
Right.
But if I'm sharing with you where I really am, and you're sharing with me where you really are, you can hear the human being behind my words, and I can hear the human being in you behind your words.
Right.
And then when we're learning, we're both learning as human beings. We share that sort of common human craving and common human need and quest. And we can all hear it. We can both hear it together, or all of us. It doesn't have to be just two.
Uh-huh.
You know, we start to hear what it is to be a human being.
Mm-hmm.
And when I hear your human craving, I see my own. And when I share with you my human discoveries, you see yours.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's absolutely right, that it sounds to me like you were learning about your own feelings as you were talking to her,
right.
And she was learning about her feelings as she was talking to you, and both of you are learning from each other.
Yes.
Am I hearing you right?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the kind of intimacy I think that we all long for, because it's about sort of delving into who we are and connecting through it.
Absolutely. And I think that it's that who we are that's the key. That if you can let go of some of the images that you bring into your day, into
uh-huh.
your life about who you think you are, and start to discover in process, in conversation, what really goes on with you, then you really are sharing who you are with yourself and with another. And I think it's in there that this stuff really takes off, that when we can be deeply honest with another human being, we are becoming increasingly honest with ourselves. And that's, I think, where life really starts to take off.
Yeah, and that's probably the scariest part about it, being honest with ourselves.
Mm.
So how do we learn vulnerability and intimacy?
Well, the short answer is take the Soul Jazz course. There's a Soul, and the online thing is called souljazzonline.com,
uh-huh.
and you can see about how to take the course. So enough plugs. Now I'll get into the fun part. It seems to me that the key act in learning how to do this is in becoming increasingly connected to your body, especially where you feel a little nervous or anxious.
Uh-huh.
For example, before I got on the phone with you, I was noticing that I was feeling a little anxiety about the call,
uh-huh.
like not quite knowing where we're going to go,
right.
not quite knowing what I was going to have to say,
yeah.
whether
and
you
I'm
would
darn
respond,
scary.
Whether,
yeah.
Yeah. And I was feeling that anxiety just below my solar plexus.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's a little, for me, that's the spot. It's not my solar plexus, it's just about the inch below there.
Right.
And I was noticing some anxiety there. And that anxiety, if you can allow it to be there,
mm-hmm.
if you can feel your own feeling and feel especially your nervousness, your anxiety, your sense of, that's a kind of gateway. So that as I leaned in this just before our call, as I kind of sunk into that feeling of anxiety, and it's very physical for me,
mm-hmm.
as I kind of sunk into that feeling of anxiety, I was able to say, this is what I'm feeling right now. And I was able to kind of open up into you, or that sounds kind of sexy, you know, open up into the conversation, allow myself to be a little more here.
Right.
It's like a little doorway for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that if we can open into our own feelings of nervousness and anxiety and whatnot, and be really straight with ourselves when we feel that,
right,
that allows us to be more honest. And that's especially true in conversation, that when I'm feeling anxious in conversation, I know that that's the place that I really can be vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And my choice is, and it's not always the right choice, but my choice when it's a good situation, as this one feels like, my choice is I want to go into that place that makes me just a little anxious and makes me just a little nervous.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where real conversation takes off.
And it seems like in our society we've learned to suppress the physical sensations, you know, push through it. We've also learned to suppress the emotions. And you're talking about embracing both.
Thank God, you're really good, Christine. I always really, really respect you. Yes, in our society, we are taught not to do this.
Uh-huh.
And so what I'm trying to do here is something that's very counter-cultural,
uh-huh,
you know, counter the way our culture works. Most of us are taught, tough it out, don't notice it, don't
right,
be there.
Right.
And I think it's terribly damaging to a life. I think it's terribly damaging to a psyche that we are taught not to be honest with ourselves. We're taught not to feel certain things.
Mm-hmm.
We're taught to sort of ignore them. And I think that that's a real loss, that if we can allow ourselves to really know what it is that we feel and who it is that we are, I think life becomes so much richer and so much more alive.
Yeah, I agree.
Right. Very good.
And I also think that from, you know, my more esoteric perspective, the intuitive information comes through when we're paying attention to the emotions and the sensations in our physical bodies. You know, it's like it's all information. And I think that, gosh, it was Greg Braden who said the language of consciousness is emotion. So it actually is a way for not only us to sort of be honest with ourselves on a psychological level, but to allow that soul information, that energetic information, to flow through and be observed and then potentially be released if it needs to be released, like you were talking about your anxiety. You know, I personally have anxiety about this conversation because I only got 3.5 hours sleep last night. And I knew our first conversation was so good. It's like, okay, well, what happens if it's not good enough? And so, you know, on the first break, it's like, by the way, I didn't get much sleep last night. So,
right,
you know, it's
right,
it's that kind of honesty that allows us to sort of put our guards down and say, okay, so that's what is, now where are we going from here?
That's interesting, and here I want to press you a little bit. As a person that's highly intuitive, does it always come out as an emotion? Because the reason I ask is that sometimes, like when I'm in conversation, when I'm in conversation even with you, sometimes what I want to say comes out not so much as an emotion, but rather as a kind of a vague image.
Uh-huh.
Like I'm having a sense for, As I was talking to this fellow yesterday, for example, I was having a sense for there was something that I didn't quite know how to articulate, and it came to me as a kind of feeling of like a wave coming over. That
uh-huh.
was the image that kind of came to me. Is that the way your intuitive stuff comes, or does it always come out as an emotion?
Well, the emotion is sometimes the information saying something's out of balance here, like, oh, there's something wrong here, or there's something I'm ignoring about myself because I've got this big emotion coming up. I would say that the physical sensations tend to be more in line with the intuitive information. Like I get the creepy crawly sensation on the top of my head, you know, the crown chakra. Might get some pressure in my solar plexus when something is actually wrong or direction I shouldn't go. Speaking of direction I shouldn't go, I can see Benny over there doing his little break dance. Not break dancing, but it's his dance saying it's
been,
about
I've
time
been known
for a break.
To break dance a little bit, but
we'll,
back in my day. But,
yeah. Okay, well, you know,
I'm not
on the radio,
do
I don't think so.
No.
But we're way past break time, so we're going to have to go a quick break. More with the wonderful Dr. Robert Foreman when we return.
Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Pat. I know you've heard my friend and colleague, John G. Sutton, on my show. Well, guess what? He is now going to be a regular each month I know many of you have experienced John live on air and how absolutely incredibly accurate he has been. So guess what? He's going to be joining us every month. For those of you that want to find out more about John and schedule your amazing session, go to psychicworld.net. Don't forget to stay tuned and tune in for John G. Sutton on the Dr. Pat Show every month.
I'm Peggy Snow with another Stellar Reflections Minute. Presence, or what we think of as being fully in the moment, is a key element in the process of healing work. As a practitioner facilitating a session, genuine presence takes us out of our heads, where we tend to decide what is and maybe what should be for the client, and moves us into direct experience where we're available to witness the person in their wholeness. In this receptive realm, our senses are heightened and expanded, allowing us to perceive what's seeking to unfold and to interact in the moment. There's something profoundly powerful that happens when healing is approached in this simple, pure way. Balance can be restored and healing can take place on multiple levels. If you'd like more information about the services we offer at Stellar Reflections, visit us at stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Called the Oprah of radio by her listeners, award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off of traditional talk radio. Get ready for an energizing delivery and powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's fresh, new perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Visit thedrpatshow.com. That's thedrpatshow.com for listening times in your area.
Galios miso dressings are delicious and made with only the finest, freshest, and all-natural ingredients. Galios miso dressings are low in fat, sugar, salt, and carbohydrates. They do not contain any artificial ingredients or any wheat, eggs, vegetable gums, or MSG. What they do contain is astonishing flavor and silky texture that can only come from using premium quality ingredients. Order online with free shipping at www.galeoscafe.com. That's GALEOS cafe.com.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW CRN and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm having a conversation today with the author of Enlightenment Ain't What It's Cracked Up to Be, A Journey of Discovery, Snow, and Jazz in the Soul, Dr. Robert Casey Foreman. So, Robert, you know, we were talking about intuition and we were talking about paying attention to the sensations and the emotions that we're experiencing while in human form. So, what are the benefits of paying attention within the context of relationship to another?
Oh, God, what a great question. And that's a great question because sometimes I wonder about exactly that question. You know, is this really of value? And let me say this, that one of the things that my dad used to wonder about was, you know, how can you sell this?
Uh-huh.
He was a very straightforward businessman, and you know, it often felt like, That's a question I've often had to deal with. It's like, you know, I've been thinking about this my whole life. And, you know, I'm not a rich man. I don't make money doing this.
Uh-huh.
You know, so I've often said to myself, is this really worth doing? And then, Christine, I say to myself that what I get, what we get from doing this kind of work is we get to be more alive.
Mm.
We get to have a sense of what it is to be a human being. We get to understand, and in a certain way, we get to fulfill a kind of calling. That is, what my real responsibility in the world is,
uh-huh.
I think,
right.
Is to be fully me. It's a kind of gift
yeah.
that I have to offer the world. And the more I can be honest, the more I can people that I'm being with, and the more in service I am to my own life, and the more and I'm being responsible to the gift I've been given of human life.
I like that. And being responsible for the gift you've been given.
Yeah. think that I have been given a gift, and the gift, in the most abstract sense, the gift is I get to live a human life.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in specific, I've been given a gift of this particular person, of being this particular guy, and being in this particular context. And it is my offering to the world, just as yours is an offering to me, you mm-hmm. know, to be more and more really Christine is to be more and more of a gift to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that you can sense that my being me is something that I'm offering to you.
Oh, yeah,
so that
absolutely.
The more I have of me, both the more fulfilled I get in being alive, but also the more I am giving of myself to you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think in many ways that this work is, it's the responsibility of being a human being,
mm-hmm.
you know, that you get to be more you, and you get to offer more of that to the world. And that, I think, is the deepest kind of gift that we have.
So
I'm sorry, that was a little philosophical.
No, not at all. I think that it actually applies to every single one of us on the planet, that we know that we have some sort of gift to offer. And yet many people, and, you know, that I include myself in various times in my life, have a sense that of frustration, a sense of sadness and grief for not, you know, really allowing that gift to come through us fully. What are some of the symptoms or some of the signs when we're not actually fulfilling our mission of sharing our gift?
Oh, God, don't we know that? And that's kind of what you and I were talking about over the break, which is that I think there's a kind of a cue that our bodies give us. And alas, I've known this cue too many times, which is you're off here.
Mm-hmm.
That there's something that's not quite right yet.
Right.
And the intuitive cue that you get comes in a very bodily form. But it also, for me anyway, tends to be a kind of there's something off here. It's mm-hmm. a kind of feeling that there's something wrong. And I think I take those feelings as very diagnostic. You know,
mm-hmm.
that if I get that feeling that I'm really off here and I'm not doing something right, I want to listen to that. And in a certain sense, I was talking a little bit before about how we can listen to anxiety. Often, I think for us, that sense of anxiety or the sense of something is wrong in your belly or something is wrong in your chest
mm-hmm.
or... You know, that sense that we have, it comes very embodied like that.
Uh-huh.
And I think that sense is communicating something to us. And if we listen
right.
in and we use it as a kind of gateway, that becomes a kind of cue for us that we can say, oh, well, what is going on here? And what is wrong here?
Well,
so
I think that so many people end up avoiding allowing themselves to feel that through choices of food or television or cigarettes or whatever it is in order to sort of suppress and avoid that discomfort, don't you think?
Yeah. One of the exercises that we do in the Soul Jazz program is that we ask people, and the Soul Jazz is very much one-on-one. We do it online, but it's very much one-on-one.
Uh-huh.
We ask people at some point, you know, what are the tricks that you use to run from anxiety?
Mm-hmm.
And generally the tricks you hear are fairly common. You can sort of predict them, you know, like I eat too much or I get busy or I
right.
watch TV or I, you know, I do drugs or, you know, it's like you kind of know them. Sometimes people use certain kinds of things, like when one fellow says that he becomes obsessional and he sharpens his pencils when he gets anxious. I mean,
uh-huh.
that's sort of funny for me. But, you know, I think we all have these tricks that we've discovered over the years of how not to feel,
mm-hmm.
and especially how not to feel anxiety. And
right.
I think if we can start to pay attention to what our tricks are, what our little cues are, and pay attention to where we kind of get ourselves, how we distract ourselves and don't feel,
mm-hmm.
I think that there's a kind of a breakthrough that can come from that, and a breakthrough from stopping those ways that we have of avoiding.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a challenge. And again,
yeah,
as I
is.
Said before, it's a little countercultural. Our culture is so intent on not feeling stuff. own lives and to invite people to feel what they feel is very kind of scary for folks.
Right.
So I completely agree.
And I know sometimes we're sort of forced to face these things. That, you know, there have been times in my life when I've been forced. I think about several years ago, I was having gallbladder issues, and I was no longer able to eat most of the foods that I really loved. And having a very restricted diet and having this knowing that if I put something fatty into my system, I was going to hurt, forced me to sort of shift it. And I realized that I was using food to suppress some emotions. And not having that addictive substance in front of me or ingesting it actually forced me to feel some of my feelings. And so, you know, I didn't, but I hadn't realized it until I had gallbladder issues.
You know, in a funny way, I would say I do the same thing. I certainly have done the same thing with food. But one of the tricks that I use is that when I get nervous, I start telling jokes.
Uh-huh.
And I try to be cutesy and
right.
funny. And it's actually socially very acceptable. You know,
uh-huh.
it's like, I can be a funny guy. But in many ways, that tendency of mine is a way to avoid.
Mm-hmm.
And once I faced that, it was like, oh my God, look how much I'm doing this. And look how often I was, it's very scary to see that.
And
I still do this stuff. You know, it's uh-huh. like, it's still hard. So yeah, this is hard stuff for people to actually face into this stuff.
Sure. We're going to go to another quick break, but before we do, Robert, can you please share with our listeners how they can get involved with the Soul Jazz program?
Yes, go to Soul Jazz Online. It's pretty obvious. There's a wonderful test people can take, and it's an easy. You can sign up there, there's a little button on the side that says, you know, learn more about taking the class. So, yes, souljazzonline.com.
Okay.
Thanks.
More with the wonderful Robert K.C. Foreman when we return here on the Christine Upchurch Show.
To be you, it had to be you. I wandered around and finally found the somebody who.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. What does the word healing mean? Many think that healing merely means eliminating symptoms. However, based on my many years as a healer, I have a much broader perspective on the word. Healing can manifest in a variety of ways, including having physical problems resolve, becoming more emotionally centered, experiencing better relationships, gaining greater clarity, and feeling more spiritually connected. True healing always includes some level of transformation. Whatever form healing takes, there is one commonality, an improvement in quality of life. To me, the highest form of healing goes beyond aligning with wellness. It comes from recognizing our soul's voice and allowing it to speak through us. And in that sense, don't we all yearn to heal into our wholeness? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Tune in each Tuesday at noon Pacific and 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for the Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected with Dr. Julie Kroll, featuring weekly segments with David Eisen and the Chakra Sound System. Each week, you will journey through infinite possibilities, expand into social potential, and find beautiful beginnings where endings leave off. Changemakers from around the world will explore what's emergent about the environment, relationships, health, the arts, education, and the evolution of consciousness. Visit TheDrJulieShow.com.
Called the Oprah of radio by her listeners, award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off of traditional talk radio. Get ready for an energizing delivery and powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's fresh, new perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Visit thedrpatshow.com. That's T-H-E-D-R-PatShow.com for listening times in your area.
Are you ready to move past limiting beliefs and unconscious obstacles that are holding you back from financial prosperity? Do you want to be free from debt and that feeling of being disempowered? Mary Jane Allen is a financial healer and joy creation specialist who uses her unique set of tools included in her financial healing process to help her clients move past those beliefs and fears. For more information and to contact Mary Jane, visit her website, manifestyourlifedream.com, and begin your financial healing process today.
Thinking of you, some others I've seen might never be mean, might never be cross or try to be boss, but they wouldn't do for nobody else. Gave me a thrill with all your.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. I love the music that you've come up with, Benny. It's always very interesting and eclectic, and thank you for doing what you do.
I hope I didn't startle anybody too bad going into the break. It was a little dramatic and intense, but that was the start of the song.
I thought it's because it's October. It's Halloween month.
I know, right?
Yeah.
I'm so looking forward to it.
And I'm so enjoying my conversation today with Dr. Robert Foreman. You know, Robert, before the break, we were talking about different ways we can distract ourselves, and you were talking about how... you know, not sort of like not paying attention to the anxiety. We do that in various ways. You were talking about how you can use jokes. I was talking about how I've used food in the past. Can people actually use spiritual practices to avoid dealing with their authentic selves?
God, what a great question. The short answer is yes, and the long answer is definitely.
Okay.
And the reason I say that is that as a long-term spiritual guy, I mean, I've practiced meditation for 40 years. I've probably spent 3 years or 5 years of my life with my eyes closed. And I think in many ways, I was, and I don't want to say this too loud for fear of embarrassment here, but I think in many ways I was doing that as a way to avoid the challenges that were intimacy. I think in a funny way, though, spirituality, and this is something that we have not talked about, in a funny way, I think spirituality helps you become more intimate in that you make contact with yourself in a very abstract way, but you do make contact with that sense of what you are or who you are. And I think the challenge of our lives, and when I say our, what I mean is people that are really dedicated to their spiritual lives, I think the challenge of our lives is to learn to bring the sense of openness, the sense of truth-telling into our lives as opposed to just allowing it to be out there in a sort of abstract way. You know, it's like I can go there when I meditate, but I don't bring it here. One of my friends once said that relationships are where the rubber of spirituality meets the road of life.
Ooh, I like
and
that.
And I think that's a very nice way to think about it. It's in relationship that this stuff really gets both challenging and interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So I think spirituality might be a kind of preparatory thing. It can be a huge avoidance mechanism, or it can be the place that you learn how to be more open, and then from there you learn to apply it.
Right.
And you learn to apply it in everyday life and relationship. But that's tricky stuff. And frankly, I think I told you this before, but you know, I would say I have been, I've been practicing meditation for more than 40 years. It's only been the last 10 or 15 years that I've learned how to really talk to another human being in a way that's really open. I think my spiritual life helped that, and my dedication to meditation and all really helped me do that. But it took a long time to learn how to bring this stuff into my everyday life. So, I think it's really, it's a very mixed blessing on this score.
Mm-hmm. So... how does intimacy relate to psychological work?
Oh, another good question. The way I tend to think about it now, and I didn't used to think about it this way, but the way I tend to think about it now is that intimacy requires enormous ego strength. I have to be pretty certain in what I am, I have to be pretty strong in who I am before I can allow myself to be vulnerable. If I'm really kind of weak and afraid, I really do not have enough strength to make myself vulnerable in front of you.
And you think that's the role of the ego?
The ego's standing in the way. Yeah, the ego stands in the way of that. But as I build up my ego and become stronger and stronger, I can start to challenge it, and I can start to let it go. As Carl Jung, the psychologist, put this, you have to have an ego before you can let it go.
Okay.
And I think that intimacy is a path to letting go of the fictions that we like to tell about ourselves, mm-hmm. the sort of puffing up that we do about ourselves. And intimacy is the time that we can start to challenge that and let it go. Well, that requires an enormous amount of ego strength.
Right.
And I think psychology is very good at getting you to both see where the problems are in your own ego life, and also let go of some of those bugbears that you've been clinging on to.
Right.
So the way I'd like to put that is that psychology gets you to go. Intimacy is where you go once you've gotten to go.
Okay.
Did that make any sense?
Yeah, it does. So how does it relate to spiritual development, intimacy?
Intimacy, I think, now this is the way I tend to think about it, but I think that intimacy and the spiritual life are both expressions of openness. That when I have those meditative experiences in which I feel wide open, I feel truly connected to the world, I feel truly connected to life, I think that that is a wonderful experience of being open. Intimacy is the same sense of openness and the same sense of freedom, but it comes in the context of my everyday life, and it comes in the context of my relationships with people that I know and people that I'm sort of coming to know. So I think both of these paths, as it were, are attempts to become free in your own life and connected to your own life. So that spirituality is a kind of practice of becoming open. Intimacy is an application of that same openness.
Mm-hmm.
And in practicing intimacy, one can become increasingly open internally as well as externally. So I think these are the same, they're working at the same thing, but different kind of, sort of different pathways.
Right.
And here I have a wonderful quote about this from Rumi, if I can give you a quote.
Oh, please do, yes.
There are three ways to approach the mystery of the divine. The first practice is prayer, the second practice is meditation, and the third and most important is the intimate conversation.
Ooh,
and I think he's kind of nailed it right there. You know, it's like these are all, you know, so in effect he's pointing to bhakti Hinduism, and he's pointing to Advaita Hinduism, non-dual Hinduism, and he's pointing to soul work, the intimate conversation. So
yes, interesting.
I think we're all sort of pointing at the same general direction.
So, Robert, before we close the show, is there something you'd like to share with our listeners in, say, a minute or less?
Yes, a minute or less. I want to share something about you, Christine. This is the second time we've talked, and I am so impressed with what you're doing. And I want to draw your listeners' attention to this. That is, it is hard to keep this going. It is hard to keep a conversation going, and it's hard as hell to keep a radio show like this going for days and days and weeks. And what you're attempting to do here is bring intelligent conversation about probably the most important thing in life, which is becoming open and free. And so my hat is off to you. I think what you're doing is fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you very much for doing it.
It's so easy to have wonderful conversation with guests like you. I just love your work. I love your book. Again, it's Enlightenment, Ain't What It's Cracked Up to Be. And it's souljazzonline.com, right, Robert?
That's right, souljazzonline.com, and thank you for allowing me to give that plug. But it is really a privilege to be on this show.
Thank you, and it's a privilege to have you here. I so enjoy conversing with you, and I appreciate you so much, Robert. And I appreciate you, the listener. It's great to connect with you all over the world, and I want to thank you for being here. If you want to find out more about Robert, again, souljazzonline.com. If you want to find out more about me, including you can listen to the teleseminar that I was talking about at the beginning of the hour, go to stellarreflections.com. So thanks, and have a wonderful week, everybody.
You've been listening to the Christine Upchurch Show, Stellar Conversations to Illuminate Your Journey.
Each week, this show engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about the transformative healing work of Christine, visit www.StellarReflections.com. And for weekly topics, visit www.TransformationTalkRadio.com.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. Years ago, when facing cancer, without any immediate treatment options, I sought healing by making various life changes. For a while, I followed a very restrictive diet. I often found myself obsessing about which foods were good and which ones were bad. Then one day, I realized I was consuming foods based on fear of not getting well. But I didn't want to make choices out of fear anymore. I decided it was far better for my immune system if I allowed myself to experience the joy that came from, say, eating frozen yogurt, than it was for me to ingest the fear that came from avoiding it. Now, instead of choosing healthy habits based on fear, I try to make choices because they feel right and ultimately bring me joy and ease. How many of your healthy habits are really based on fear? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Tune in each Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio to Limelight Radio with Katina Macris. This is an inspirational, cutting-edge radio show educating worldwide listeners on a diversity of Lyme disease-related topics. Each week, Katina will interview some of the world's leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential. For more information, visit LimelightRadio.com.
What does a dentist of the year get? A little plaque. Welcome to Smile Big, where we offer cosmetic, restorative, and preventative dentistry. Dr. James Rosenwald and Dr. Susan Abdenard work hard every day for their clients to be happy to smile with the latest equipment for complete smile restoration for anyone. The sooner you call, the sooner they can help. Call 425-454-4040 or email scheduling at smilebig.com. You can even visit our website at smilebig.com.
Tune in to Heart Center Talk Radio with David Christopher Lewis, a gifted clairaudient, Aquarian spiritual author, and talented musical composer on TransformationTalkRadio.com every Wednesday, 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 p.m. Eastern Time, with delivering more than 4,000 messages from angels, masters, and divine beings. David will share the Ascended Master's teachings, insights, and surprising revelations to lightbearers. Meet transformative guests who embody change and inspire hope and get a refreshing and deeply meaningful perspective on life.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio. On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. What does the word healing mean? Many think that healing merely means eliminating symptoms. However, based on my many years as a healer, I have a much broader perspective on the word. Healing can manifest in a variety of ways, including having physical problems resolved, becoming more emotionally centered, experiencing better relationships, gaining greater clarity, and feeling more spiritually connected. True healing always includes some level of transformation. Whatever form healing takes, there is one commonality, an improvement in quality of life. To me, the highest form of healing goes beyond aligning with wellness. It comes from recognizing our soul's voice and allowing it to speak through us. And in that sense, don't we all yearn to heal into our wholeness? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.